Pollock. Dr. Pollock is a Helen Ross Professor of Social Science Administration and Affiliate Professor of Public Health Science at the University of Chicago, where he is the co-director of the university's Crime Lab. His research appears in Addiction, the Journal of the American Medical Association, American Journal of Public Health, Pediatrics, and other publications. His journalism has appeared in the Washington Post, New York Times, The Atlantic, and other outlets. His American Prospect essay, Lessons from an Emergency Room Nightmare, was selected for the Best American Medical Writing in 2009. Dr. Pollock?
Gee, I'm sorry about that pompous introduction, I think we somehow sent the wrong file, but my mom would have loved that, though. Thank you. It's too bad she couldn't hear that. So I want to talk today, actually picking up perfectly on the Naval presentation on the role of dental professionals, since there was the mentioning of wisdom tooth extraction in that. Let's see. The space bar? So I have no relationships to declare financially. So what I want to do today, I'll say a little bit about some non-medical use of prescription opioids, and I think I'll go quickly over this because you've already heard three presentations about that. But I'll note that the dental environment is an understudied and potentially important venue for prescription drug misuse. I'll mention a few things from some qualitative studies of interviews that we've done of dentists that we've done, and some national survey data, but then spend most of the presentation talking about micro data that we have from prescription drug monitoring system data to try to look at the involvement of dentists in one particular form of problematic opioid use called provider shopping. So, and we'll try to get a sense of what's going on there. Okay. So, non-medical use of prescription opioids is a serious and widespread problem. If you look at the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, 2.4 million Americans in a given year take prescription drugs for some non-medical use for the first time in a year. And 60% of ultimately misused opioids come directly or indirectly by prescription from a healthcare provider. There has been a lot of attention paid to physician prescribing patterns in this issue, a little bit less to the non-physicians who often actually have access to the same medications. I should say that the CDC has identified the need to examine the role of prescriber dispensing in prescription drug abuse and overdose and to use surveillance data to do that. Provider clinical practices are often cited as important drivers of the epidemic, in particular some common inappropriate patterns of prescribing. And many prescribers lack training in pain management or addiction, and lack training, comfort, and awareness needed to determine, you know, whether patients are at high risk for some sort of opiate use disorder. And 22 states have enacted laws recommending or mandating some sort of provider education for those who prescribe medication. In the dental arena, I hate to – anybody here who has dental phobias, I'm sorry about this slide. Quite a few dental procedures involve at least acute pain, root canal, tooth extraction, and so on. And so dentists are prescribed quite a bit. A dentist prescribes an estimated 12% of immediate-release opioids, such as hydrocodone and oxycodone in the U.S., and actually dentists are second only to family physicians as prescribers of such medications. So you know, in 2009, dentists wrote about 6.4 million opioid prescriptions, which is, I think, has escaped public attention to some degree. Another problem is that it's difficult for dentists sometimes to assess what's really happening with patients' post-operative pain, especially we have a dentist on the team who talked a lot about the different surgical procedures that sometimes involve pain and are somewhat difficult to manage. And patients' self-reported pain levels are sometimes inconsistent with the medication use that they have. And so there's a number of issues that come into play because of that. And I would say there's two different types of issues that come up in the dental care setting. One is inappropriate prescribing to people who really don't need the pain medication they may be getting. The second issue is overprescribing or misprescribing to people who have a very appropriate use of that medication but who may receive too much of it, or in other ways the dentist may be prescribing in a way that heightens the risk of dependence or other challenges. So when we look at the small literature that exists that looks at dentists, we see very high levels of prescription and often just more pills than people need. A typical prescription in a random sample of 100 oral and maxillofacial surgeons showed that they were typically giving out 20 pills of hydrocodone, and that just was more than patients needed. And as a result, patients had extra medication that either they took themselves or that was available for others in a way that was problematic. Almost all surgeons do give out prescriptions for opioids after these procedures. That's pretty typical. We see that 90% of narcotics are given in 90% of cases involving surgical removal of an erupted tooth and so on. There was one study done in West Virginia where, of course, President Obama was recently visiting, discussing the prescription opioid problem. Three-quarters of dentists interviewed suspected that between 1 and 20% of their patients were misusing substances. More than half suspected that they had been deceived by patients who had obtained opioids through theft or fraud. And despite such widespread experiences, one-third reported that they didn't query new patients about their substance use histories on a routine basis. So we conducted some preliminary qualitative interviews with 9 dentists, really to try to help us understand in a kind of hypothesis-generating way what was happening that those dentists were observing. And 3 of the 9 reported that they did not screen for symptoms of drug misuse, while the others typically conducted only a basic examination looking for obvious or stereotypical signs of misuse. And typically they confined their inquiries to the patient health history. 2 reported questioning a patient about some suspected misuse. 8 reported that they had actually known drug misusing patients over the past 5 years. But only 2, and those were both from community health centers, knew of or had any mechanism of referral for patients who had some sort of a problem with these prescription opiates. We did also see some differences across dental specialties. The specialists were less likely to feel that these issues were pertinent for them, usually because they only saw the patient for one visit. So they really didn't have a personal relationship with that patient. 5 reported no special training. One of the most concerning aspects was that of the 9 that we talked to, only 1 was familiar with the state prescription drug monitoring program, and that one person didn't use it because they were concerned about the sort of big brother aspect of it. So the key mechanism that's used by many medical providers was just not being used. Now, of course, this is just qualitative interviews, but we also went to national survey data. We conducted a nationally representative survey of 2,800 dentists in 2010 and 2011, and we asked them some questions about these same issues. And we also found that while dentists were frequently querying about illicit drug use, they really were ambivalent about whether this fit within their professional role, and they, for the most part, the dentists were felt at sea about what exactly to do when they encountered patients who had these types of issues. And not surprisingly, dentists who self-reported a high degree of clinical knowledge about substance use were much more active in exploring this with their patients. So we went to prescription level data that we had from IMS Health LifeLink, or the LRX Anonymized Longitudinal Prescription Database, which is a micro data source that allowed us to directly explore some of the patterns using prescription level data. It's kind of an amazing data set. It is on a fast computer network down at Hopkins, and there are just billions of prescriptions across the states that we can use to examine the prevalence and the type of opioid prescriptions across dental specialties, across states, and over time. So we hope that by documenting the prevalence of particular patient behaviors, we could alert dentists to prevalent risks or drug-seeking behaviors. So there's a variety of ways that we're trying to use this data to inform policymakers, regulators, and law enforcement authorities. Just to say a little bit about the data that we have, It captures roughly 65% of all U.S. retail prescriptions, so you can get a sense of the massive nature of the data that we analyzed. And each record contains data about the retail transaction, the patient, the product, the prescriber, the payer, and the prescription drug plan. And I should say that the identifiers that we have are anonymized, but they are unique to the individual at both the prescriber and the patient level. So there's a lot of interesting things that we can do with it. And our current license encompasses 11 states, some of which are quite large, like California and Texas and New York, and some of which have particular issues with prescription drug use that merited attention. We selected the universe of prescription claims for all identified patients who filled at least two prescriptions for an opioid medication. So I should say that the states that we selected were picked on several criteria in an ongoing research project. One is, are they changing their policies regarding prescription drug monitoring? Do they have a high baseline rate of sale or misuse? Or are they next to a state which has a particular problem or a trafficking issue? So there are a number of factors that went into that. I should mention that there are about 47 metrics of problem prescription drug use in the literature. So one of the challenges that we had was to decide, what are we going to focus on when we have such a monster data set? And, you know, there are patient-level measures, as you can see, for example, proportion of patients receiving opioids, and particularly long-acting opioids for non-cancer patients. Prescriber-level measures, are prescribers giving out a lot of opioids? Pharmacy-level measures. I'm not a clinician, so we focused on one particular thing which was easiest for me to understand, which is this provider shopping dynamic. But I should say that some of these, we're going to look at some of these other measures as well, for example, the concomitant use of benzos and opioids as indicating different kinds of problems that patients might confront. So provider shopping is a very dramatic behavior. It's often furtive, in which patients are obtaining prescription opioids from multiple distinct providers and filling at multiple pharmacies within a short period of time. And we believe this is the first study that's been done that actually focuses on dentists in this. According to our definition, we define someone as a provider shopper if they received an opioid prescription from at least five different providers and filled these prescriptions from at least five different pharmacies within 6 months. So that's pretty extreme behavior, by and large. We identified 165,430 people who met that definition. I was actually really surprised. In fact, I'm still looking at that and saying, wait a minute, that's just so big. But, you know, there are a huge number of prescription drug misusers in the United States. So it's not completely surprising. These individuals filled a collective 17 million prescriptions, of which about 4 million were opioid prescriptions. And 3.8% of the opioid prescriptions that we found were from dentists. And the most interesting thing was that one-third of the identified provider shopping patients received at least one opioid prescription from a dentist. So it wasn't that dentists were central to this, but dentists are playing a part. And I don't want to overstate it, but I just think dentists are somebody that needs to be looked at. Okay. How am I doing on time, Michael? Now one of the questions that we then wanted to look at was how central were the dentists, and B, you know, were patients getting a lot from dentists, and B, who were these dentists, and were their problem dentists, or was it just that dentists were sort of part of the mix in a way that didn't particularly indicate problematic behavior by the dentists? And what we found was most of our sample only got one or two opioid prescriptions from a dentist. There's usually, the dentist was just one bit player in a larger pattern of behavior. And we also saw, as you'll see, that most dentists who encountered these patients only had a few of them. But there were outliers in both cases. So there was a subsample of patients who got a lot of dental opioid prescriptions, and there were also some dentists who were outliers as well. So here's just some histograms that we had. This is all of our provider shoppers, and how important were dentists for these people? So we see most of them, 112,000, didn't get any dental prescriptions, but among the remainder, about three-quarters of the remainder only got from one or two dentists. So, you know, 23,000 had one, they got it from one dentist, 11,000 got from two dentists. So, by the way, there were out way at the right tail, there were 960 people who got from at least 14 dentists. And I don't know what's going on with those people, but for the most part, dentists were just a bit player in this. Now, a second thing that you might ask is, or I'm sorry, this is the total number of dental prescriptions. Here we have how many dentists are involved for a particular patient, and we see for most people they're just involved with one or two dentists, but there are some outlier patients who are much more involved. Another question that we asked is, are there problem dentists out there, and how many are there in the sense that they're dealing with a lot of provider shoppers? And the answer seems to be no. Almost all the dentists that showed up in our sample just had one or two provider shoppers showing up with them. One of the nice things about this data is once you find a patient as a provider shopper, you can then find all the providers that deal with them, and then you can look at all the patients who touch that provider, and you can imagine you can sort of ripple out in a pretty interesting way from this massive data set. We did find 591 dentists who had 10 or more provider shoppers that they were giving opiate prescriptions to. And I think if I were a regulator, I'd probably be paying a visit to each of those 591 dentists and just saying, hi, how you doing? What are you? Can I see your prescription pad? You know, what's going on with you? But that seems to be actually not where most of the problem is. And I think that's actually important to keep in mind. So, you know, one of the things so our findings, what do they underscore? First of all, there is a need to focus on the dental setting because a lot of these provider shopping patients are involved there. We haven't found too much attention within the dental community to really managing this problem more effectively. And we think what's actually happening most of the time is that dentists are doing their job the way they're supposed to, but they're not particularly good at engaging patients who may have an issue. And so, therefore, it may be that the patients are being covert, or it may be that the patients are just, they have a medical problem that the dentist should deal with more effectively by talking to them about their dependence on a prescription medication. So we didn't see a lot of dental wrongdoing, but we may be seeing a really missed opportunity in the dental setting. I think in particular it's important to note we're just looking at the most extreme form of problematic opiate use among patients. And if we looked at some other issues, just overuse and that's less dramatic, we think we'd see a lot more dental involvement there. And particularly when we know that many, many young people, their first experience of an opiate painkiller is at the dentist, we have to do a better job with that. And so that will be the focus of our future work to try to understand more patterns that involve dental care in opiate drug misuse. So I think I'll stop here and just note, given the severity of this problem, we do believe that it's quite important. So I think that's probably a good point to stop. Thank you very much.